As I thank you, morning everyone. Yeah, naughty. Yeah, so this year has been such a good one. Eh? Last year, as most of you guys know, I started my own company last year, June, and it's been a good one. Eh? It's been tough as well. Obviously, we rely on our income and the company's income, so it's been so tough. And one thing that the Lord really taught me this year is that I needed to change my perspective, that we were not suffering. I just needed to change my perspective of life, because we usually had such an overflow of things, and then it stopped. And the Lord really taught me so much through that He is providing. And most of the time, we actually try just to make a way to get things and to have more, instead of just being content with what God is giving you at that moment. So about 4 weeks ago, I drove to Paul. I was busy with a job in Paul. And I started praying. I don't know if we have a Polo, and the back doors of the Polo is not working. So the kids are used to it. They're still young, so they just jump through the front. But when we lead worship on a Sunday, we put the pram at the back. The kids need to get in first, then we put the guitar in between. And then Antwik is sitting on Franchak's lap. And then it's a fight from Welgevonden to church. And then we need to worship. And then we need to focus, Jesus. And as I was driving, I was actually praying, and I said, Lord, please bless us with a car. Please give me a car. And in that prayer, that thing came where Jesus said that we don't receive when we pray because we ask with the wrong intentions. And I still contended, and I was like, Lord, I don't have the wrong intentions. We need a car. We're struggling at the moment. But we can't buy one. So last week, someone blessed us with an SUV. I didn't pay for anything. It was like given to us, the keys. And as we shared our testimony, as I spoke to the people that blessed us, I said to them, you know, that was three weeks ago, I prayed for the Lord to give us a car, and they said that 3 weeks ago they start feeling in their hearts, they need to bless us. And that was just, God is so faithful, eh? Yeah. Okay. Praise Jesus.
I know I'm not supposed to do it, make a comment on each one's testimony, but let me just say this. That car that they just received in their time in Stellenbosch, that's the third car that someone has given to them in this congregation. So if you are a visitor, well, I just want to say how. What an awesome privilege to be part of a community that had that testimony about itself, that we truly share our lives in every way. One couple have a testimony of three cars been given to them since they've been here. Wow. Anyway, Jody.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me? You're fine. Okay, so I basically studied in Stellenbosch, left at the beginning of last year, and in January I was like looking for a job, and I was like, great. I was actually only just trusting for a job for this year, and then got a job in Technopark and was like, okay, I need a move. And then I was like, okay, but Lord, now I need like spiritual family. I can't do this alone. You know, where do you want me to be rooted, and where do you want me to grow and be planted? And so I was trusting for a church, and like there's a lot of background that I don't want to share now, but I mean, so I have a colleague, and he was like, oh, Josh, Jane, and I was like, and he's like, oh, but they're very radical. And I was like, sure, I don't know if I want radical. Am I ready for radical? am I radical enough, you know? And I walked through these doors, and I didn't know anyone, and everyone's like very welcoming and very friendly. And it took a few Sundays of me just coming and not knowing anyone and just being like, you know what, I'm going to step out there and be intentional. Went to the ladies' breakfast, didn't know anyone, but that was just also so blessed. And yeah, God's been so faithful in providing spiritual family. I really started this year with wanting to walk in my purpose, and a big part of all of our purpose is to be part of spiritual family. And yeah, he's just been revealing more of that to me, and I've really just enjoyed being here. And like, you all carry a fragrance of God's love, and so since I've been part of the spiritual family, my standard of life has changed. You know, what do I want for myself? What do I want for people? What am I willing to give? So now I don't even think, what do I want? Like, what am I yet to receive? It's more like, where can I give? And it's all because of, that's how you guys serve. So thank you. Thank you for serving like you do. When you start working and you have to navigate this life and you're making big decisions, you need people alongside you. And I know the Lord, some of us are naturally by default independent, but I'm so glad that I'm in a spiritual family where that is not the way you do it. You share with people, you're held accountable, you seek wisdom from those who are older. And so last thing that I'm very thankful for amongst the many is just the fact that the women in this congregation build one another up and invest in one another. And like, it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful, and I'm thankful for that. We walk through the mud together. I don't want to mention names because I might leave out some, but ladies, thank you for being who you all are. The world needs that. And yeah, I'm so thankful for spiritual family.
So this is the first time I'm doing something like this, so just bear with me if I'm looking down at my notes. So I just wanted to start off saying I know I wouldn't be where I am in the journey with the Lord without the impact that church has made on me. So a bit of a background, I grew up in England in a Christian family. And I gave my life to God when I was about like 5. But growing up, it was never really a relationship thing. It was more like my parents' faith. So there was never really a relationship with God and I. And we moved to South Africa, and I kind of got distracted by ways of the world and influence from friends at school and things. But through joining Josh Jen, my walk with the Lord really started. And I started paying attention to the young students in the church who were so free in God's love and living a godly life, and it really inspired me. And then we started being more constant in church, and I got surrounded by so many students that became like mentors to me, and I know that God placed them in my life for a reason. They're so relatable, yet so inspiring, and I've never felt so cared for and loved, and I know it's all through the Lord. And things like accountability and commitment have really stood out for me in these relationships, which leads to the fact why church has made such a big impact on my testimony. And by God placing me here in this church, my view on life has really changed, because I know that God is for me, and I have so many people surrounding me who are God-fearing and supporting me to love God more and more every day. Things like accountability, discipline, fellowship, and serving the Lord has really stood out for me being in this church. And in this recent season, what's really been revealed to me is by putting church first and your distractions to the side. And by putting the kingdom first before anything, we can trust God that good things will come from that. So yeah, that's just...
well done. Antoine, you set the stage. I'm so emotional. I just got to get over it. Yeah, we love you guys so much.
We love you guys so much. This is God. God is here. We have been on an incredible journey so far. We've lived 15 years in England, and we were involved in some radical work there within the church. I got really busy in work also, 6 days solid. And I just got really burnt out. I got to a place where I just couldn't anymore. But God was in the midst of everything. And God brought our season to an end in England, 15 years. And he brought us to Stellenbosch, our next journey of our lives, and here we are. And it's been, like I said, an incredible journey for the Loebscher family. We really feel like we've been knitted in to this congregation. We've been knitted into this body. This is where God has got us. And we've been coming a few times before we committed. And we've been sitting here going, is this the place? Is this, you know, is there church work here? Can we get involved here? But God kept bringing us back because the Spirit of God was here. And the minute we got to a place where God said, I want you to commit now, it was like God broke in a radical way. I saw things being challenged in us as a married couple, things being challenged in us as with my daughters, and God's just been working in every area of our lives. And I want to say, the minute we committed, the minute we decided we'd start tithing, the minute we decided we'd start inviting people in our homes and being a part of this, like God really knitting us in, that is when the breakthrough started happening. And I can honestly say, when I say that we love you guys, we really, really love you guys. I've never been knitted into a church. So it's like so spiritually. And it is awesome. So we are waiting for awesome things to happen in this next season. We know God is here. I've got great expectancy. I know the people that have been brought in, like us, sitting on the edges here. There are a few of you still sitting there that need to be grafted in, and God's busy with you. He's going to graft you in, and we're going to move together and advance God's kingdom in Stellenbosch. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to say it's just been amazing. Just having made that decision to commit and just to be a part of all of you. Delia gave us a prophetic word when we first joined. Right in the beginning, we were meeting at Anton and Annalene's for the first home group we had. And I remember Carla being there. And she said, you're going to have a large table and you're going to be really meeting people over that table and blessing them over that table. And it's just been so amazing because we found this table on a street outside the schools in Stellenbosch. And honestly, this has just been the most amazing thing, is just the blessing that has come around our table and just the giving and the loving of people and just, just being able to be a part of everything and be knitted in. And it's just been incredible. So thank you for blessing us by coming and sitting with us. And it's just been awesome.
Thanks, God.
So just the fact that I didn't stand up there earlier, that's the testimony. So so it started, I was on my way to Korea. I really, really wanted to go to Korea. Actually, I just wanted to get out of here. I wasn't list for Stellenbosch anymore. I was over it a bit. And then I realized it was actually me and my will, and the biggest thing actually was I could never think that Jesus's will is better than my will, or God's will is better than my will. Obviously, I know myself best, so what I want is best for me. But then the coolest thing was everyone around me kept on telling me, God, we actually know you're not going to go. So, but it's cool, you believe what you want to believe, but we actually know you're not going to go. And then the one morning, I was like, okay, enough is enough, Jesus. I am done with this. I don't want to hear it anymore. So please give me an answer. So then I pulled a Gideon, and I put out my fleece. And my fleece was, I asked, so with the Gideon story, Gideon, he was able to, but he just wanted to know if God wanted him to do it. If God was backing him in it. And if he knew God was backing in him in it, he would have done it. So that was the same for me. I just wanted to know, Jesus, what do you want to do? Because actually, I just want to do what you want to do. I don't want to say it out loud, but in my heart, I want to do what you want to do. So then I asked him, so do you want me to stay in Stellenbosch? And my Gideon fleece was then, if someone today, in any sense, just mentions a donkey, just says donkey, then I would take that as my Gideon, and then I will stay. So then, obviously, I said it, and I kind of forgot about it. And at that stage, one of these cool friends of mine, we were training for a half marathon, and then we were doing the last rep of our thousands, and I was like, yo, I'm feeling really good. How are you feeling? And then he was like, nah, my body's like a donkey. I have to whip it into shape to go faster. But as he said it, it was kind of like Jesus, not kind of like, I really felt like Jesus touched me there. So I got a bit cold, and I didn't say anything, so I just ran on. And then I went to God afterwards, and I was like, okay. Gideon had two chances. I want another one. just give me another chance. So then I said, okay, if I see my friend tomorrow again, because we didn't plan to see each other the next day, so even that just made it harder for God. If I would see him tomorrow, and if I ask him what he said in the last rep of our thousands, if he said something about a donkey, then surely it has to be. So then the next day came, and obviously we did see each other. We came over to the farm, and then we had tea and hanged. And then in my slick, sly way, I tried to like dodge the question, but obviously I came there, and then I asked him, so can you remember what he said in the last rep of the last thousand? And he was like, I think I said something about a donkey. And then when he said it, I didn't feel anything because I actually knew already what the answer was. So now I know I'm staying. But the cool thing, about it is that before this whole thing, I really didn't want to stay, and everything was just not lacquer. I just didn't want to stay. But now, I think beforehand I didn't see God in everything, so that's why I didn't want to stay. But now I see God in everything I do. So I remember the one Sunday Carla said that God's will isn't always the beautiful one, the attractive thing, the one we want to do. It's the most satisfying one. And that's what I'm really feeling now. I'm now in a place where I'm super satisfied. I'm content. I wouldn't say it's the most beautiful thing, because now all these other things have to like fall in place. What am I going to do next year? Where am I going to stay? All those other stuff. But it's still so, so satisfying. I am staying.
Aren't they saying as stubborn as a donkey? Aren't they something like... just before the clocks come up, I just want to say, I mentioned it to the leaders the other day, that in the book of Acts, when the early church, day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. The funny thing is, very few of those 3,000 people were from Jerusalem. It's people that came for a festival all over the world, gathered at Jerusalem, and they got saved. And the funny thing is, if you notice afterwards, no one went home. It's like people traveled for thousands of kilometers to come here, or to come to Jerusalem. and they didn't go back. And I said to them, I don't know what happened. I don't know if Peter stood up and says, listen, everybody that got saved, you stay. Or if it was just something that the Holy Spirit did in people's hearts, that they felt like, well, God is doing something, and I'm staying here. And I know Stellenbosch will always have this type of testimony that we will have people coming in here, being changed by God, and move out. But it's just interesting, in the last couple of months, it seems like just some, not everybody, just some, God is working in their hearts to stay here, even though they have nothing else than the kingdom keeping them here. And it's just such a cool thing that I feel God is really doing something in our midst, doing something here, that he wants people to lay it all down, you know, to see something happening here. So watch the space. Probably somebody that's almost a similar testimony. The Clarks, if you guys can. Representation. You thought it's going to be Hamilton, huh? He's not the spokesperson today.
Good morning, church. My heart's going like at 5,000 beats per minute right now. I am not the public speaker in our family. I also don't fly by the seat of my pants, so hence the notes. So I'm sure you're all familiar with our story, but for the visitors who don't know, it has been exactly 1 year to the day when Hamilton stood up in front of the church and asked for prayer. We had just moved here from KZN. My daughter had been diagnosed with stage 4 bone cancer. And yeah, it didn't look good. Sorry, now I'm getting all weepy. and so our journey began, and this church has really just contended with us. And we are so grateful for every person who has fought with us. I'm not even following my notes now. it's been a year, and it's been a year. In that year, we have done 22 hospital stays, 8 months of chemo. We've almost lost our daughter 3 times. She's had 3 incredibly painful surgeries. But in it all, the one thing I have learned as a mom and just as a sister in Christ is that God is sufficient. We have a room, a little brow room next to our house that overlooks the mountains, and it's where I would go and just fall on my face. And my favorite verse was, I look to the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And every time I would feel hopeless or desperate, I would just look outside and I would see the mountains and be reminded of where our help came from. And God has been so faithful. Bex is technically in remission, despite the odds. And I just felt like to say that, you know, like, it is him who brings order to chaos, a solution to helplessness, perseverance through exhaustion, stillness to anxiety, compassion instead of harshness, and healing to sickness. And yeah, so we've still got a road ahead. We still contend every day. We have other giants also that we are facing. But yeah, we just know that in it all, God sustains us, and he carries us, and he is our help.
Yeah, just small. This is another family that, I mean, they came because of Becca's cancer. And obviously, that was the reason why they landed up with us. But at the end, it turned out, yes, God did what he did for Becca. But all the other spin-offs for you guys coming here and joining us, it's just been an incredible God thing, again, that we were able to witness and to have you guys part of it. And we watched the space. We don't know exactly, but it seems like it's another couple that at the end is going to throw themselves in here because that's where they believe God has them. And Russia. All right.
Okay. So, I had an interesting year. I do have to share some background for you to understand. So, I studied sports science. Last year, did my honors in sports science. This year, started studying something completely different, just because I think I had a fear to start working and really didn't know what I needed to do. And it's funny because Norke told me the other day that when I had to make the decision of going to do honors and the other option was PGCE, she was like, she actually felt PGCE, but I can't even remember that. So, this year I'm going to try and explain it as best as possible. So at the beginning of the year, started studying, stopped studying, had challenges with regards to my housemates moving to another church, and it was just like as if my faith was attacked. I started doubting in certain stuff, and I was just like, where is this coming from? And a few other stuff that all happened at once. Like the illustration I got in my head was like, you know that Jenga blocks? So you're building it, it's like this tower. And the first thing was like at the bottom, putting out a block, and this thing is like, okay, it's still stable, and then putting out another block, and then it's like wobbly, and then just pulling out another block, and everything like just came falling down. And that's what it was for me. Like, I just felt like God just break down the wall I tried to build for my whole life, and I was lying there under the rubble trying to come out again, and yeah. Slowly but surely I did, and then the awesome thing was then God started building, and I think, yeah, that was the cool thing. He came and broke down everything that I tried to build so that he can build what he wants to. And now the testimony actually starts. Okay, so that's background. So now I was there, didn't study anymore, didn't have a job. Actually didn't even know what I wanted to do with my life. I was just like, okay, God, what now? And it took a whole while, like almost the whole year. The whole time I was thinking, yes, I should have just done PGCE, but it's too late now. Just putting it behind, it's too late now. And then one evening, everything was just like building up, and I was just like, yeah, I can't anymore. I should have just done that, and I shared it with people. And actually found that there is an option for me to do that. I don't have to go to Stellenbosch, sit in class. I can actually start working and do that. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Shared it with a bunch of people, and everyone was like, yeah, we feel it's God, it's good. Like, okay, first step. Okay, I know what I'm going to do. Now, where am I going to do it? First thinking, okay, Stellenbosch, but then I started feeling, oh, I think my time in Stellenbosch is coming to an end, but I didn't want to admit it at first, and then went to speak with Kala and Ork, and I'm like, so listen, I think I need to leave. I don't know where yet, but I need to leave. And then Oudtshoorn came up, and I was just like, that's actually some place I said I will never live. So don't say that, ever. So I was just like, this can't be. Just putting it behind me again. Okay, God, where do you want me? And then LaSalle, actually, the one Sunday, she heard that I was maybe leaving, and she was already like, oh, it's so sad you're leaving. And I'm like, wait, I'm not leaving yet. But she was like convinced that I'm going to leave. And I'm like, she's like, okay, so where would you like to go? And I'm like, no, I don't know, really. I'm just open for anything, you know, like God still has to show me. And she's like, okay, but in this moment, if you have to tell me, where do you think you're going to go? Where is it? And I was like, you're not going to believe me. And she's like, Oudtshoorn. And I'm like, yeah. And she was like, okay, because she sent me a message the previous day. She's like, yesterday when I sent you this message, I just felt Oudtshoorn. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's, yeah. Oh, the doves again. So then I actually went home for the weekend, okay, I was swearing in the back of my mind. So I took my CV, I would have gone to speak to the high school principal to ask him if they could help me in some way, give me an internship or whatever, because I'm not qualified yet, so can't be a teacher yet. And then, as God's plan was, he wasn't there that day, and I was, okay, let's try the primary school as well, just take a chance. So I found the school, I was like, can I have an appointment with your principal? And they're like, cool, and I got there, had a nice chat with the principal, and when I left, he said, you might hear from me sooner than you think. And I'm like, okay. So I walked out there, like, oh, I think this is it. But also, it's primary school. I actually wanted to be at the high school, so yeah, don't know really if this is it, but I actually felt that this is it. So yeah, so then after that was 412 conference. So at the conference the one night, I don't know what's his surname, but Peter, the British guy, he was speaking about launching into the deep, and just, it was about going into the nations, and I'm just like, yo, God, I want to do this, I want to go into the nations. Outsuring, like, what even? Like, outsuring is not the nations. And then I was like, okay, God, but do you really want me to go to outsuring? And I'm like, and the guy started preaching, and he was like, yo, you should go to places like the Noon and Kayalicha. And the lead elder from Outsuring was sitting like just behind me, and he was like, oh, Outsuring. And I was like, you can't be serious. Like, okay, so that was confirmation number two. And then after that, I was like, okay, this is now probably going to be it, Outsuring. And then a few weeks after that, Yanku was like, when we were in the worship camp, so that was now a few weeks back, I just felt something, I don't know if I should share this with you, but yeah, let's go for it. So when I saw you, I was just like thinking, Outsuring. And I was just like, this is the randomest thing, and he didn't say anything. He actually made a joke with me, and it was like, yo, when you go to Outsuring, I was like, it's not settled yet. And he's like, what? Yeah, so that was confirmation number three, Outsuring it is. And then only after that, I heard back from the school, and they were like, you got the job at the primary school. yeah, so it's just been, yeah, it's just been so cool. I've never experienced God just making a way. And even like before I even got the job, there was like three accommodation options already for me. I could just kind of choose. So everything just fell into place from the moment that I started thinking education. Everything just fell into place. And it's, yeah, it's amazing because I've never experienced something like this before. And I know there's a lot of you that are waiting upon the Lord, what to do with your life. And yeah, so this is actually just encouragement that He will come through. You just have to be willing to lay everything down, let Him kick down your wall, and Him building what He wants to build. Yeah.
I think this is the last one before we worship, and you'll share something afterwards. All right. Morning, everyone, again. So this is sort of a combined testimony, and it's a bit different for both of us. It has to do with something that I preached about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but this is just a bit more to color the story in. For me, it's a testimony of laying down what I feel God has been calling me for, and for her, it's a testimony of picking up what God is calling us for. So it's the coming together of that. So just for those of you who missed it, about 2-3 weeks ago, I shared a testimony of how in my life, it was definitely a God thing. After I got saved, God slowly but surely started working a desire in me to plant churches and lead churches. And it's something that grew to a point that it not only felt like something I wanted to do, where initially it wasn't, but it's something that I really felt as a promise from God. And I shared that there were about 4 or 5, I think actually about 6 times that it sounded like I was going to be sent to go plant or lead a church somewhere, would get really excited, And God would bring me to a point of saying, no, you have to lay it down. It's not going to happen now. And I could really see the hand of God in that and really see him working in me to a point that I could really take my calling and not hold it as something dear to me, like something I own that's mine, but hold it as something that's it's open-handed to say, God, if it's from you, then you are the one that's going to make it work. You are the one that's going to appoint, and it will be by your power and not by my own, your might. So for me, that was sort of the journey. And then, obviously, having this desire, I found a good thing. I found a wife, and she comes into the journey.
So good morning, everyone. But anyway, this morning we realized it was about 4 years ago that we met, and he basically said that he liked me and everything. And my first response was, but you're an elder, and that's an issue. So it's just something that I didn't see for my life, to be a pastor's or an elder's wife, because I just didn't feel qualified or, you know, how can I sort of be an elder's wife type of thing. And I told him, just remember, I did not do the TMT Bible school route or anything. I sort of have my life planned out for me, want to live somewhere nice and, you know. But anyway, so for me, that's where the journey began, where I just couldn't find a reason to say no to him. But, you know. But part of that was saying yes to his call. And that was the difficult thing. That was sort of the cross that I had to pick up.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so during us coming together, it was a bit of a difficult thing because I had this calling that I felt from God and she just wasn't there. And so we had to have a few serious chats. I remember one conversation specifically. We were engaged at that point, and I said to her, listen, you said that you asked God for a husband that would love you more, love God more than he loves you, and this is what it looks like now. I said to her, we can't carry on with this relationship if it's going to cost what God is calling me for. And so I'd rather lay this relationship down than lay down what God is calling me for. And it was a very difficult conversation. There was lots of tears involved. It was quite a journey for the two of us. But we got to a point where she said, listen, I'm not there yet, but I'm willing to make steps in that direction. And I'm willing to trust God and have faith that he would do the work in me. And for me, that was enough. I mean, how could I not? Anyway. So that's been a journey for us over the last 4 years of just getting on the same page with regards to our calling together as a couple and how God wants to use us. And so recently...
Yeah. So on that, just looking back, so many times I find that that God works in my life, and when I look back, I see what he's done. So many times I don't see the big picture or the future plan or the 10 years from now type of thing. But many times someone just told me in that time, you know, Carla, it's many times just taking the next step of faith. And I believe that's what I did and what we did together as well. And looking back, I can really see God's hand in the 4 years since we met.
Yeah, and so recently... I don't know, maybe a month or two, three months ago, Kala came to me and he said, listen, and you guys who were here last week, you'd know the story, but he said, listen, God spoke to me. I believe that we should plant an evening congregation here in Stellenbosch. I believe we should multiply as a church and go for it. And initially, I was a bit hesitant because I felt like I didn't want to get excited, pick up this thing again and have to lay it again at God's feet. But he said, listen, I spoke to the directing elders. They feel excited about it. It's a definite. We're going to go for it. And this I couldn't share with you guys 2 weeks ago when I preached. But I started getting excited, obviously. I thought, yeah, God, here it is. It's something I've been waiting for a couple of years for. I'm excited about this thing now. I feel it's you. We're going to go for it. And the word came back about a week later saying, listen, it's almost 100% sure, but it's not completely sure. Andrew first wants to pray about it. And that, for me, threw my emotions a bit more than it should have. I felt conflicted. I felt like, oh, God, I'm going to have to lay this thing before you again. It's not going to be nice again. But I'm so thankful for that process because I felt like after, in that time, I just read through Abraham's story with his son Isaac.
And I saw that with his son Isaac, it was actually a promise that God gave him. God said to him, I give you a promise that you will have descendants and it's going to come through your son Isaac. And even though it was a promise of God, he had to lay the promise of God down and be willing to offer up his only son Isaac, the promise of God. But he had faith enough that if it was really of God, then God would resurrect his son Isaac from the dead. And so for me, it was such a good process of coming before God again and saying, God, if this is what you want to use me for in your kingdom, it's not my work. I lay it down before you. You will resurrect it if it's from you. And it was actually such a good thing for me. It was the best thing God could have done because I felt like, God, if I do it, I do it. If I don't, I don't. It will still be for your glory.
A while ago, Andrew said the following. He said, sometimes...
Sorry, and just the last thing. So there was the 1% chance that it's not going to happen, but then... What was it, a week ago, that during my preach, two, three weeks ago, I didn't know this, but after that, the 1% came through and Andrew said, you guys can go for it. So that's where we are now. So that was the completion of it. Okay, we're going to go for it.
Okay, so Andrew also said a while ago in a preach or something, he said, you know, sometimes God takes a long time to work suddenly or quickly. And that is sort of what happened to me now as well. So just in the past, I think, a month and a half or 2 months, the following happened. So my mom and I went to watch Downton Abbey, and Carson, the butler, said, where the king needs me, there I'll be. And it was one of those moments where it sort of just jumped out at me, and I'm like, oh, that's for me. And the second thing was I read a scripture in Kings right at the end where David said, I want to make a sacrifice to the Lord, but I don't want to sacrifice something that costs me nothing. That's the second thing. And then Kala found Rodney. That's very prophetic. And he, before he even finished explaining the situation, Rodney gave two prophetic words that was very cool and very accurate. And then just a week or so ago, a friend of ours that I don't think she even knows about the situation, and she had a dream, and she had basically a dream about me that links up with it as well. And so for me, it's I can't deny seeing God and seeing his work quickly and suddenly now, especially with the plant coming up in January.
Yeah, so for the both of us, obviously, this is a very exciting thing for us. For me, it's been such a good process, just laying it down before God and say, God, if you want to use me, you're going to be the one to do it. And for her, it was being willing to say, God, I'm nervous. But if it's you, then we're willing to do it and we're willing to lay our lives down for your kingdom. And so it's been an exciting process. We're both a bit nervous about next year. We're not sure how it's going to play out. But we're also very excited because we know it's the will of God for us to do that. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so in this week, we started chatting a little bit more about next year, and as his excitement grew, I can see it's becoming increasingly harder for me, you know, knowing that I would not have this guy with me the way that I'm used to and the way that I used to work with him. I shouldn't get emotional here now. Tough guy. But I want to say this, that if ever... You are. I've been serving on another man's team. I've served other people's vision, and I know if you are a man of vision and if you have a desire to lead, that is a very hard thing at times. And it's challenging, you know. And coming here, knowing I've got a similar man on my team, that is called to lead. As a man of vision, I want to say that whoever would serve on his team, if he would reap what he has sowed in the way that he served me, he will be a blessed man. Because the way that he served me, the way that he served on my team, the way that he covered me when nobody knows... I'm just so blessed. So, I trust and I pray in God that he would have the privilege to have the same type of caliber and the same type of people serving on his team and pouring themselves out as he did for me. And I'm saying it because I know it wasn't easy. We had many chats that it wasn't an easy thing. That's what made it more beautiful. That I know it was 1,000 crosses that was picked up, but he chose to do it every time. Well done. You've done really well. It's an end of a season that you can look back and say, it's well completed.